This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزيه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praises due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I have been witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described shaytan, He said about him, إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ, that indeed he is a clear enemy who seeks to misguide you. And their Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about and described Iblis and the shayateen, the devils that work with him, he mentioned in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that Iblis asks the devils what they have done with their day. And so one of them will say, I didn't leave so-and-so until I caused him to steal. And another will say, I didn't leave so-and-so until I caused him to abuse another. And they will recount the evils that they tempted and encouraged mankind, humanity to do. Until, as the Prophet ﷺ says, ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ أَحَدُهُمْ فَيَقُولُ مَا تَرَقْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتَ قَالَ فَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْهُ وَيَقُولُ نَعْمْ أَنْتَ أَنْتَ That one of them will say to Iblis, I didn't leave this man until I caused him to separate from his wife. And when he says so, Shaytan, Iblis says to this devil, that come forward, I choose you, you are the best of all of them. And this is because Iblis understands that one of the greatest avenues to cause corruption and evil is to break up and to shake a home and a relationship between a husband and a wife. And if we look today and survey divorce around the world, in Muslim majority countries, for instance, in particular, we'll find that divorce rates have spiked in the last 20 to 30 years with almost no exception. In some Muslim countries, the divorce rates is at 67%. Nearly all of them are over 50%. It is rare to find a country with a divorce rate below 50%. And when I was a child, I remember the khatib would sometimes stand and say, non-Muslim countries have high divorce rates, but Muslim countries don't have it. But now we're exactly the same, sometimes even more. And it shows how far we have fallen behind upholding the etiquette of the Prophet ﷺ that he taught us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about the prophets and the messengers in the Qur'an, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً That we gave them and blessed them with wives and children. So the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made them to be examples for us, including the example of how to run their household, to have wives and to have children. And Allah says about the Messenger of Allah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا And Allah says, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, there is a great example for those who wish Allah, those who have hope in Allah and in the last day. And the Prophet ﷺ would instruct us and instruct the men in particular in terms of their relationship to their families and to their wives. The Prophet, for instance, in one hadith says, إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا اسْتَتَّ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَرِفْعَةً He says, no one spends anything for the sake of Allah, except when they spend that, Allah raises them a degree and raises them in their rank. And then the Prophet gave an example of giving for the sake of Allah. Now there are many forms of giving for the sake of Allah. You can give to someone who's hungry, you can give to build a masjid, you can give to educate someone. Many forms of giving for the sake of Allah. But the Prophet in this hadith specified something in particular. He said, حَتَّى اللُّقْمَ تَضَعَهَا فِي فَمِّ امْرَأَتَكَ. He said, even the morsel of food that you place in the mouth of your wife. And the Prophet ﷺ, even when talking about sadaqah, wanted to use it as an opportunity to educate, to encourage the man in his treatment of his wife and how to treat her with excellence and how to think about spending upon her, even in feeding her, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward him for doing so. And once when the women at the time of the Prophet ﷺ were complaining excessively about their husbands, and they came to the house of the Prophet to complain about their husbands. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَدْ طَافَ بِآلِ مُحَمَّدَ الْيَوْمِ نِسَاءَ كَثِيرٌ وَاللَّهِ مَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِخِيَارِكُمْ. He said that indeed many women have come to the house of the Prophet today. Truly most of you are not of the best of you. That you are not of the best of you because you have become excessive in your complaints. They are complaining about things that are frivolous in their relationships. And the Prophet ﷺ, in his final sermon, where he chose the most important things about his message to highlight, to underline, realizing that that was perhaps for many of the people who were there, the hundreds of thousands of people who were there, or the 100,000 people who were there witnessing the Prophet give that sermon, that was the first time they saw the Prophet speak. And for most of them, it was the last time they saw the Prophet speak. And the Prophet had a premonition that this would be his last sermon. And he said, what was the most important about this deen? And he said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. And he said to the men, fear Allah in relation to your relationship to the women. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ. Because you have been entrusted with them by the entrustment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone gives you something to borrow, you have to answer back to that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, whatever dominance, whatever, you know, authority Allah has given a man over a woman, you took that because Allah gave you that trustment. Allah entrusted you with it, meaning you're going to answer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, when one of the women came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet asking her about what is critical for her entrance into Jannah, he said, قَالَ فَكَيْفَ أَنْتِ لَهُ فَإِنَّهُ جَنَّتِكِ وَنَارُكِ. He said, how is your relationship with your husband? For he is your Jannah and he is your Naar. Meaning that the way, if you treat him with abuse and disrespect, it will cause you to go to the hellfire. And if you treat him with excellence and good manners, it will cause you to go into Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ showed this in his relationship to his wives. Look at when he married Safiya radiallahu anha. And it was just the beginning of their marriage, just at the very beginning of it. And the Prophet ﷺ brings her the horse or the camel that she is going to climb upon, to step upon. And she is too short to get onto the horse by itself. So the Prophet ﷺ, showing the chivalry of a man, comes and bends his knee so that she can step on his knee to get up on the horse. And many men are very callous in their relationship with their wives, and they won't even show this type of kindness, this type of chivalry, this type of giving a hand. And the Prophet ﷺ does this immediately. And she, seeing the Prophet do this, then increases her own respect for the Prophet ﷺ. She said, I felt too shy to put my foot on the Prophet. So when she came to come up on the horse, instead of putting her foot on the knee of the Prophet, she bent her knee and put her knee on the knee of the Prophet in order to rise up onto the horse. She showed this extra respect to the Prophet ﷺ after he ﷺ showed respect to her. And we see this again in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. That the Prophet ﷺ would joke with his wives. That the Prophet joking with Aisha one day, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ إِذَا كُنْتِ عَنِّي رَاضِيَ وَإِذَا كُنْتَ عَنِّي غَضْبَانَ. He said, I know that the day that you were happy with me, I know, and the day that you were angry with me, O Aisha, I know. Aisha said to the Prophet, how do you know when I'm happy with you? How do you know when I'm angry with you? And the Prophet said, قَالَ أَمَا إِذَا كُنْتِ عَنِّي رَاضِيَ فَإِنَّكِ تَقُولِينَ لَا وَرَبِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَإِذَا كُنْتِ عَنِّي غَضْبَانٍ قُلْتِ لَا وَرَبِّ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. He said to her, O Aisha, when you are happy with me and you want to swear by Allah. You say, by the Lord of Muhammad. And she said, when you're angry with me and you want to swear by Allah, you say, no, by the Lord of Ibrahim. That's, you're swearing by the Lord of Ibrahim, not by the Lord of Muhammad. And this is a joke that the Prophet ﷺ would say, said to her, in order to make her laugh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha, when she heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, قالت أجل. She said, this is true. She said, قال وما أهجر ما أستطيع أن أهجر إلا اسمك. She said, I am not capable of abandoning anything other than mentioning your name. Meaning, even when I am the most angry at you, I can't leave the house, I can't turn away from you, I can't leave your company. The most that I can do is I stop saying your name for a little bit. And this shows again the affection that she had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Aisha mentions that when I would drink from the cup, when she would drink from a bowl and hand it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would turn it around in order to drink from the exact same place that Aisha drank from. And this is again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to show his affection for his wives and for our mothers, including Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us in many ways in how to improve our relationship with our wives. And there are many benefits that we can extract in our own livelihood. One of them is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us in our family relations to have a positive atmosphere, to have a positive mindset in our relationship to our wives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. He said, no believing man should despise or hate a believing woman. If there is something about her, if there is a characteristic about her he dislikes, then there will be something that he does like. Meaning that, and this is a major issue that happens in our community, is discontentment with each other. Discontentment between the husband and the wife. That the husband looks to the wife and says, well, why can't she do this, 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 this? And the wife looks to the husband and why can't he do this or earn this or do that or do that? And we start judging each other on these basis of looking for the negative faults in one another. And when we focus on these negative faults, the negative fault gets bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds. And so a brother goes to his friend's house and he sees his friend's wife cooks all this food or cleans the house so nicely. And he says, why can't my wife do this? So now he begins focusing on the fact that his wife maybe is not the best cook. That's a big deal for some men. And he focuses on this, and he's super focused on this, but he doesn't see, maybe his wife teaches his children Qur'an. Maybe his wife treats his parents really well. And maybe the other brother's wife was a really good cook, maybe she fails in some of these aspects. But when we're super focused on the thing we don't like, it becomes all that we can see. And so the Prophet says the believing man should not focus on the thing about her he doesn't like. If there's something you don't like, there's something you will like. Look to the thing that you do like. And this encourages the mu'min, the believer, to have a sense of gratitude, even in their relationship between the husband and the wife. And this goes to our conversation, our khutbah last week about gratitude and remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a lengthy hadith in Bukhari that Prophet Ibrahim visited his son Ismail a number of times in Mecca. And that the first time Prophet Ibrahim came to visit Ismail as an adult in Mecca, he knocked on the door of Prophet Ismail, and the wife of Prophet Ismail answered the door. And Prophet Ibrahim said, where is your husband? She said, he's not here, he's out hunting. And so the Prophet said to her, how is your life? How is your affairs and your life and what's not? So she complained and she said, everything is difficult. We only can eat meat that he hunts and drink water. We don't have anything else. And of course, vegetation to grow in Mecca is very difficult. So Prophet Ibrahim said, you know, he heard her out. And he said, when your husband comes back, inform him that I came. And tell him, غَيِّرْ عَتَبَةَ دَارِكَ. Change the gate to your house. And Prophet Ibrahim left. When Prophet Ismail returned, he felt something was off. He felt something was different. He said to his wife, did anything happen? She said, yes, an old man came asking for you. And he said, for me to tell you, change the gate of your house. And Prophet Ismail understood. He said, this is my father, and he instructed me to divorce you. And then years later, however long it was, Prophet Ibrahim returned back to visit Prophet Ismail in Mecca, and he went to his house and he knocked on the door, and now the new wife answered the door, and he said, where is Prophet Ismail? She said, he's away. And he said to her, how is your life? And she said, Alhamdulillah. And he asked her about how is your food, how is this, how is this? And she said, Alhamdulillah. And so he came to leave. He said, when your husband returns, tell him that I came to visit, and tell him, ثَبِّتْ عَتَبَةَ دَارِكَ, that establish or make firm the gate to your house. And then he left. And the same thing happened. Prophet Ismail returned, felt something was difficult. He said to his wife, did something happen? She said, an old man came and he asked about you. And he said, to make firm the gate to your house. He said, this was my father and he informed me or instructed me to keep you as my wife. And what was the difference between the two wives that made Prophet Ibrahim tell his son to change wives? By the way, you know, we're not telling people to go change their wives overnight. He's a prophet and he has, you know, the most shara'i reason to make this request of his son, but that he saw the one wife was not grateful to Allah. And if she cannot be grateful to Allah, how could she be grateful to her husband? And when he saw the other wife is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, this is how you build a strong home. This is how you build a good home. So for those who are not married, when you're looking to get married, you need to look for someone who has the characteristic of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if they are grateful to Allah, they will be grateful inshallah to you. And those of you who are married and want to improve your relationship in your home, increase your ability to have gratitude. Gratitude to Allah, and that will cause gratitude to other people, because part of our gratitude to Allah is to be thankful to other people and what other people have done for us. And this is one of the diseases. We only see the faults of the other person. We don't see their good side. We focus on the mistakes the other person does, and we remember them, we memorize them, we note them down so that we can fight about them later. But we don't note down, you know, the good things that people do. The good thing that the husband does, the good things that the wife does. And if we focus our attention there, that will cause more peace in our house. And we see this with Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, that one day he was making dua for his wife who had passed away. And in the dua, he was saying, oh Allah, you know, we were married for this long and we never, وَمَخْتَلَفْنَا فِي شَيْءٍ, we never differed with each other. So someone heard this, he said, how long were you married to your wife? You never differed with her ever? How could anybody be married and not have differing with their husbands and wives? He said to him, قَالَ كُنْتُ إِذَا غَضَبْتُ أَرُضَدَتْنِي وَكُنْتُ إِذَا غَضِبْتُ مِنْهَا أَرُضَيْتُهَا. He said that, or إِذَا غَضَبَتْ مِنِّي أَرُضَيْتُهَا. He said that when I became upset, she tried to make me happy. And when I became upset, when she became upset, I tried to make her happy. That as if the relationship was like this, when one person saw the other person was upset, they're having a bad day, something is difficult, they went out of their way to make things easy for that person. They went out of their way to drop the argument, to make things easy for the other person, and the other person returned that favor. That they were helping one person and the other person would help the other one on the other day. And this shows that if the two people are constantly angry with each other, the two people need to get their word in edgewise. The two people need to win the argument. They need to establish their dominance on the other person. Then it's like two sides pulling on a rope. The rope is going to break eventually. But if, like Imam Ahmad says, when the day that I was upset, she tried to make me happy. And the day she was upset, I tried to make her happy. That when you see the other person and the needs of the other person and you try to deliver it for them, that this causes a relationship that you can spend 20, 30 years married and not have significant problems in your marriages. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام وعلى رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We don't have too much time. I wanted to talk about some research that's been done in marriage. John Gottman has done a lot of research in this area. He's a doctor and studied this area a lot. And he talks about often the four horsemen of divorce, like the four signs of divorce, the four major signs of divorce. He talks about criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And he says that when these things come into the relationship, they can be very corrosive to marriage. And I wanted to talk about this from an Islamic perspective because it lines up with a lot of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, but maybe we don't have time to go through all of it. But there was a sister here who held a workshop a few months ago on making marriage work, and I was telling people to sign up for it. And she deals with a lot of these issues and goes through a lot of his studies as well. And she's coming back, I believe, perhaps in March, inshallah, we'll be holding it here as well. So I encourage you to sign up when that registration becomes accessible, inshallah. But he talks about criticism. And he says, you know, criticism is different, is a serious problem. He says, complaints is one issue. You have lots of complaints. Complaints, usually you complain about a problem. I'm upset about this problem. Criticism is you criticize the person. So he says, this is one of the worst things about that happen in a marriage. So for instance, you know, the husband is late, doesn't come home till late. A complaint is, I was scared you didn't come home late. Because you didn't tell me you were going to run late, and usually we agreed that if you're going to come late, you're going to tell me. This is a complaint. You're complaining about the problem of him being late. A criticism is, how dare you come late? You don't realize how this affects me. You are insensitive. You are this. You are that. So now it's criticism. You're criticizing the person. You're not criticizing the problem. And we see the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he wouldn't turn things into fights or into complaints. So for instance, when the Prophet ﷺ would come to the house and say, is there food to eat? And the wives would say, no. The Prophet could say, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you cook? Why didn't you find food? Why didn't you do this? He would say, "Idhan inni sa'im," instead. He would say, then I'm going to fast. He could take things as an opportunity to fight, like many people do. Instead, he doesn't. He finds a way out of that situation. And we see Anas radiallahu anhu, the little boy who was serving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I served the Prophet. Not once did the Prophet tell me, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why did you do this and not that? And so he said, like, as he served the Prophet never criticized him. And this shows the type of akhlaq of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, the next problem is when criticism becomes contempt. It's one thing to criticize the person, but now it becomes contempt, disrespect towards each other. One person says they're tired. Say, you're tired? Who cares if you're tired? You just come home and sit on the couch. I'm the one doing all the work. So now you're disrespecting the other person. And he says, when it comes into foul language with each other, abusive language with each other, he says, this is in fact the greatest predictor of divorce. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us, أَنَا زَعِيم بِبَيْتْ فِي رَبُضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرِكَ الْمَرَاءَ وَنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. The Prophet says, I am the advocate to give you a house in the middle of Jannah for the person who abandons arguing, even if they are right. Even if the argument that you're arguing about, you're right in your argument. Even if you're using proper akhlaq, too much arguing is not good. Let alone when you're arguing with your spouse. And let alone when the argument is using foul language and what's not. This shows contempt, this shows disrespect for each other. And it's one of the worst things that can happen in a marriage. Likewise, he mentions defensiveness. That, and we do this routinely, that, you know, an issue comes up and we become excessively defensive. So, you know, someone might say, why didn't you call so-and-so and tell them that I couldn't arrive this morning? And the person would say, why are you asking me? Don't you know how busy my schedule is? Why didn't you call? So now they become very defensive. They turn the argument against the other person. And this, where there's a better answer could have been, you know, I'm sorry, I forgot, I was really busy. That, you know, that's one answer, that's a good, better answer. But a more defensive answer is, I'm really busy, why didn't you call? What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you do this? Right? So you're turning the argument against the other person. And we see this in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet woke up at night, and he was spending the night with Aisha, he woke up at night, and he got dressed quietly, and he left the house quietly. And Aisha could hear this, and Aisha was jealous and thought he might be going to one of his other wives, so she followed the Prophet. And the Prophet left the house and went to Jannat al-Baqiyah. He went to the cemetery of al-Baqiyah and he was making dua for those who were there. So she heard him make dua, she sees this, and then she comes back to the house and the Prophet is coming behind her. So she runs into the house and she gets back into the bed and the Prophet comes and he says to Aisha, why is it that you're panting? Clearly you were running. Why is it that you're panting? So he says to her, Ya Aisha, aja'uki shaytani. He said, did your shaitan come to you? Did your shaitan come to you and make you, you know, feel jealous and come after me and run after me? So Aisha, what did she say to the Prophet? She said, Ya Rasulullah, don't you have a shaitan too? This is defensiveness. You're turning the argument against the other person. But what did the Prophet do? He disengages, because what happens, one side gets defensive, don't you have a shaitan? And then he could say, how dare you talk about my shaitan? You're the one who doesn't trust me. Now you get into an argument. The Prophet doesn't do this. He says, Na'am. He says, yes, I have a shaytan. إِلَّا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ فَأَسْلَمْ. Except that Allah helped me over this shaytan, and this shaytan has become a Muslim. So he didn't take the bait, like many people do, and get into the argument. But this form of defensiveness is also a problem. And the fourth one that he mentions is stonewalling. Stonewalling, you put up a wall, you just don't respond to the person. And men do this, He said very high percentage of men do this. You get into an argument with your wife, and then you just ignore her. You stop answering to her. She asks you anything, you shut down. You're not responding to her at all. And this can be dangerous as well, because it's very frustrating when one side is trying to communicate and the other side is not willing to do so. And you know, there's an interesting hadith here, the hadith of Umm Zar'a, that the Prophet ﷺ, very long hadith, lengthy hadith in Bukhari. And the Prophet comes home and Aisha is telling him this very long story of all these different women who are talking about their husbands. Very interesting hadith. But it's a very long hadith. And Aisha is telling all of this to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet is listening very attentively. And many of us, you know, you get home and your wife is talking to you and you're just in a different world. You're not even listening to her. You know, one sheikh was commenting that, you know, his child comes and talks to him and he says, oh, good job, good everything. And he's not listening. And so his wife came yelling at him. She said, your daughter is telling you that she cut herself. And you're saying, good job, alhamdulillah. You're not listening. So there's, you know, this not listening and then this intentional stonewalling of each other. But this hadith, the Prophet listens to everything Aisha says. And Aisha is saying, this wife was saying this about her husband, and this wife was saying this about her husband, until the last wife, Umm Zar'a. Umm Zar'a talks about her husband, Abu Zar'a, that she loved him and how good he was. And she said, if everything in the dunya... She said, after Abu Zar'a divorced her, she married another husband. She said, the other husband treated her so well, gave her everything she wanted. She said, even if the second husband gave me the world, it didn't compare at all to Abu Zar'a. And when the Prophet heard this, at the end of the hadith, very long hadith, he said, O Aisha, I am to you like Abu Zar'a was to Umm Zar'a, except that I will not divorce you, except that I will not leave you. And it shows you, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ listening to this lengthy hadith and then comments with something very loving and affectionate towards Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And, you know, of our deen is that to respond to the salam of another Muslim. So let alone if it's your own wife and you don't want to respond, give her salam, you don't even want to speak to her like that, that shows that there's a significant problem in the way that the couples communicate. So there's a lot of blessings in our deen of how to build excellent bridges in our relationships that we should benefit from.